Bomani Jones, Game Theory, HBO, Right Time is a podcast, ESPN, joining us on the Easter Automotive Group Hotline. Bomani, what's up, man?
Hey, man, I'm surprised somebody ran up on you in that Hartford Whalers gear. What's my man's name? Shout out to you, Warren Kurtzman. I haven't talked to you in over a decade. But when I wrote that thing about the Caniacs many years ago, he told me that he believed that it was part of an ESPN conspiracy about the Hartford Whalers. And I think my reply to him was, I'm a black man from the South. They don't pay me enough money to care about the hockey team. And he had to concede that that was probably true.
Although we have come along. Look, man, it's 90 some odd degrees outside here on the PNC Plaza. You know me. I've given in on the dad bod vibe thing, man. So here's my Hartford Whalers tank top. Let's go. I'm comfortable.
The best I've ever seen you look. What do you mean, dad bod?
Hey, I appreciate that. What's funny is, you know, ESPN's brought you, speaking of the conspiracy of ESPN, you know, we'll kind of joke about this here a little bit, but, you know, where we were in 2006 when you wrote that column on page two to where we are today, where ESPN's seeing ratings gains and everything else with ESPN, and, you know, a little credit to Gary Bettman for having this league, you know, somewhat a viable television product again.
Yeah, I'll be saying something else, too. I hadn't really spent much time in Hartford when Mr. Kurtzman told me that. I got to say, anybody who ever complains about the idea that a team left Hartford to come to Raleigh must be really bad at math. You want to talk about places that are of completely different calibers of metropolis. good gracious. Like, I'm like, wow, y'all had an actual like team here. Ain't that something? But no, the thing about the NHL is it's always a good playoff product in large part because you can just jump in. Like, you don't have to care about anything that has happened previously, and you're probably going to get a really exciting game.
Bomani Jones joining us here on the OG. That's Joe Obvious. I'm Joe Giglio. Bo, switching over to the NBA. I know Joe wants to give Miami and the Heat culture all their credit. Boston, though, they get Marcus Smart back last night. They get Al Horford back last night. How about Ime Adoku? You know, coaching with the Nets, now all of a sudden gets a chance with the Celtics. Have we talked enough about him, Bo?
I mean, they look like they were going to miss the playoffs in early January.
And I guess because they started the season so slowly. That's what that's really what it comes down to.
Yeah, but I think for me, it earned him more credit because I look at him and then I look at Steve Nash and I look at the Nets and I'm like, oh, damn, y'all kept the wrong dude. Because what Udoka ultimately did with this team is square up to their two best players and be like, look, man, the way you're doing it ain't going to work. Something's going to need to change. And he got them to buy in. Like, I give Brad Stevens credit for looking around and realizing it wasn't going to happen with him and then bringing in somebody else. And I think that really is the biggest adjustment that they've made as a team. It's just those two dudes realizing that you can't just take all the good stuff out of being the best players. It's going to come with some measure of burden also. And so I'm curious to see how this goes because I felt like Game two was so overwhelming that I can't really, like, I can't take much from it. They beat them so badly that I can't really think that it's instructive.
Bomani Jones, Game Theory, HBO. Right Time is a podcast on ESPN. He's joining us on the Easter Automotive Group Hotline. We're outside PNC Arena for game two between the Rangers and the Hurricanes. All right, we'll close on this to tie it back to what we were talking about before we brought you on, and that is Nick Saban and Jimbo Fisher. I mean, look, my attitude with this entire, I don't know, I'll use an old-timey term, a Donnybrook between Nick Saban and Jimbo Fisher. I feel like Jimbo needs to have his diaper changed. Like, the way he reacted to what, to me, made sense in the setting, talking to Alabama business guys, Nick Saban telling these dudes, look, if you don't want to be the number two recruiting class, this is what's happening. Get your collectives together. The same way Texas A&M and their money is getting these things going. I didn't have any problems with what Nick said. He didn't accuse Jimbo of cheating because there's no rules to break, it seems, right now. And the way Jimbo reacted to me was, what's the I'm going to date myself here. I mean, I'm going to sound dorkier than I usually do, but what's the phrase? Hit dog going to holler.
Gonna holler. Right? I knew you was going there. Hit dog going to holler.
Right? I mean, isn't that what that is?
Joe, what do I always say about Texas A&M? Texas A&M is what?
The NC State with money.
Okay. So once you have that as context, in this particular moment, I'm not saying that as a judgment, but you know deep down it is. Anyway, in this particular context, substitute the name Dean Smith for Nick Saban and whoever the NC State coach is. It could have been Sloan. It could have been Valvano. It could have been Les Dan Robinson. It don't matter, right? Imagine State's coach giving that press conference about Dean Smith. How long is it before they name a street after that man? Right? That's what happened.
They wanted
here.
To name a street after Rick Barnes, and he wasn't even the coach. He was at Clemson.
That's what I'm saying. This is what happened here. He just came guns a-blazing, and I always contend that any press conference like that is local. You are trying to please the locals, and I am sure, because, I mean, that's a decidedly little brother school, and I say that about NC State, except at least in basketball, NC State has two national championships. Like, they got a lot more to hold on to than Texas A&M does. Johnny Manziel was the first Heisman finalist at Texas A&M since the 1950s, right? This is their moment. They're probably going to be an 8-win team in the season because that's what they've been ever since I was 18 years old. But for that moment, Jimbo got to be the man for his folks. And I think you are correct that basically Nick Saban was like, yo, get your money up and we can fix this whole problem. But man, Jimbo hates him so much, and we forget whenever all those guys who used to coach for Saban, like Nick Saban, talking about Lane Kiffin being like, yo, we had the same dad, and it's like Muschamp and it's Kirby and all those guys. It ain't never Jimbo. Jimbo views this much differently than everybody else.
Although Giglio blew my mind earlier today that there was a time when the Chuck Amato era was coming to an end, that Jimbo's agent basically tried to sell Jimbo and Will Muschamp as the NC State coach. Deal. Can you imagine?
State would have loved Jimbo. Because here's the thing. You'd have had players. He's entertaining to listen to. He has a maddening offense. Like, his biggest problem is that he's such a football nerd with, like, the super-duper thick playbook that he winds up getting in his own way, like calling screens at the goal line and stuff like that.
Just call him Herb Sendick of football. That would have worked.
Yeah, fair. Making things a little bit too difficult. No, Cameron Bannerman, don't go dunk on somebody. There's a back cut to wait for. You know, it is that kind of thing.
The deep cut Cam Bannerman.
Bo having no idea of Cam Bannerman's current status as chief lunatic right now.
Oh, yeah, he's fired up on social media these days. Hey, Bomani, have a good weekend, man. We'll talk to you next week.
Cameron Bannerman about to start trolling me. Is that what you just told me?
No, not with you.
Everyone else, though.
Yeah, he's kind of who's the quarterback that went crazy? Harrison Beck. Harrison Beck. He's kind of like that now.
Wow.
All right, man. We'll talk to you later.
All right, now.
The VP of marketing for the Carolina Hurricanes, Dan LaTorraca, joining us now on the Heister Automotive Group, like, in-person hotline. Dan, what's up, man?
Hey, thanks for having me, guys.
So, people might not know this about you, but you're the VP of marketing now, but you came up through the tempered, fire-roasted flames of Twitter.
Yeah, I did.
You were behind the Canes Twitter account for a while there, right?
A little bit. 2018-19. Okay. I was behind the keys a little bit more.
And what people might not know about the Twitter account, it's a collaborative effort, right?
Very much so. We've got some very talented people working for us here.
Now, do you have stuff in the drafts already for tonight?
Not necessarily for tonight, but we try to look ahead series to series and win to win. At the end of we do our talking after the round's over.
Okay,
so,
I gotcha.
We got a couple things lined up. We always look. A lot of stuff hits the cutting room floor. A lot of stuff doesn't get seen. Believe me, we had stuff last round that would have been really fun.
Yeah.
We got to use it. Didn't work out. But, you know, we do have some things in mind. Unfortunately, the narratives have made it kind of easy.
So last time, so we Brownlow and I did a profile on the social media team back in 2019.
Yeah.
When the bunch of jerks thing was going on. And you mentioned that about a lot of stuff on the cutting room floor. What would I have to do to get screen grabs of some of these drafts? Oh, I just want screen grabs, Dan. Let me, like, a source.
Underground.
Yeah, that'd be fun. There's some I can probably talk to you about off air. But, you know, I don't want to incriminate myself. But also, it's part of it, too, is we've had some ideas for a while. Didn't work out, maybe in the bubble or something.
Yeah.
Tried to repurpose it more recently, and then it's like, didn't work this time. Maybe we'll save it for as the Canes are going to make a deep run. We'll be able to use it down the line.
Now, look, I think everybody understands you guys crush it on Twitter, but to me, the part that I find the most interesting is that you guys have – I feel like you could charge for your Instagram account.
Yeah.
You guys are posting what I would equate to thirst traps of Carolina Hurricanes players in their suits, slowly walking into the building. Some of them have, like, the neon. Like, did you specifically build a new neon lit, like, entrance for these photo shoots?
Yeah, it was a very collaborative process there. A lot of good ideas from some of our new people that joined us this offseason of adding some lights. And we had a designer come in and add, you know, some stuff to the walls. And Mackenzie Friedman, who joined us from the PGA Tour this year on the social side, had a really good vision for how those arrivals are going to look. And as the players saw it, they started leaning into it as well. And they're very fashionable. They understand, you know, if you're going to play well, you got to look good, kind of, and feel confident. And I think a lot of those guys, they know how to look good. So.
You make Obvious look good, though?
No, there's
this
no
tank
way.
Top and...
You kidding me? No,
either Barry Bowman.
No, but see, but you, like you said, like, you look good, you feel good, you're going to produce. This is how I feel about radio
you
right
You get
now.
The right photographer here, you can look great.
This is a good point.
Get the right angles, the right lighting.
I don't know.
It's all fugazi.
Yeah, you're right. You're right about that. All right, which player is probably the most conscious of the photos that are taken?
I don't know about that, but I know which ones are my favorite whenever I see them come through. Because I tell you, you talk about cutting room floor.
Yeah.
Man, we take so many. There's so many that don't see the light of day.
Have you thought about an Only Canes account?
We taught a coffee table book, actually. Yeah, real money's in print nowadays, so we're looking at that.
All right, a calendar.
Yeah, you know, you get some puppies in there, and we're going to make some real bunch of jerks money right there. Whenever I see, like, Mackenzie and Jalen Nash, who's a great freelance photographer for us, captures a lot of great stuff. Whenever I see the photos come through, I'm like, I look for Nino first. I know it's, you know, he knows where the camera is. He looks awesome. He knows how to dress up much better than I do. I mean, this is as fancy as I get, so... for radio, you probably can't see that. But
we're on WRL Sports Plus now, so you can see. This is why I'm all tanked up,
that's
too.
Right, you look great. It's one of our good sellers.
Hey, look, do you know how hard it was to get this?
We'll have to talk more.
This literally was the last one.
Yeah.
I had to call in a favor.
Yeah.
This was the last one in the building. I had to have it for today.
Well, it's good.
So, of course, I'm rocking this thing. All right, man. Before we get out of here, it's hot today, and I'm informed that there's going to be free water stations out here in the plaza to keep everybody hydrated. But these are actual water stations.
Yeah, that's according to state law. We have to give actual water here. You know, how people define water depends on who you ask, but we do define it as H2O for today.
Fair enough.
Other days, different story. But
Dan, great job as always, man. We always look forward to what you guys are putting out on social media. We'll talk to you later, man.
Appreciate it, Joe. Thanks for having me.
Take it easy.